Please join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day and for the opportunity we have to gather this morning to offer you our praise and worship. Your amazing creation constantly reminds us of your power, your faithfulness, and your steadfast love for us. The seasons come and go, and as spring begins again, we are blessed by the renewal, refreshment, and new life that spring represents. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings in our lives, our families, our friends, our jobs, our homes, our church, our faith, and the freedom we have to worship and love you. We realize that people in other parts of this world are not able to worship freely as we are, and we are so grateful that we can. Thank you for Pastor Kim and the staff of West Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for all the ministries that come from this church on the corner. Thank you for the many, many volunteers at this church who know Christ and who strive to make him known to all the world. We are certainly a blessed church family. We confess to you this morning, Lord, that we are not always the people you would have us be. Sometimes we put up barriers between ourselves and you. Sometimes we put up barriers between ourselves and our families and friends. Sometimes we even hurt those whom we love the most. For all of these things, Lord, we ask your forgiveness. We also ask forgiveness for the times we have not helped a stranger in need. We don't always heed Jesus' words in the book of Matthew that say, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Help us to be better brothers and sisters by stopping to lend a helping hand. Father, we have so many requests of you this morning. We ask that you bless our church family as we seek to know the best place for us in our Presbyterian denomination. We ask that our ongoing conversations on this topic be friendly and fruitful, not negative and divisive. Please bless our session and the entire congregation as we discern the best future for our church. Bless our service worship activities next Sunday as we go out into the world to serve others less fortunate than ourselves. Lord, we lift up this morning Carol Schultz to you and ask that you bring her comfort and peace. We ask blessings on Matt's grandfather this morning as he is struggling with cancer and many other health issues. We pray for our church staff as they prepare for all of the Holy Week activities. Be with our local and world leaders and help them to make good decisions about everything and everyone they represent. Father, please hear the silent prayers of our congregation as we lift up our individual needs. Help us, Lord, keep our eyes focused on you. Now please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The first scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The second reading is from the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the last reading for this morning is also from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Sometimes we all need a little bit of encouragement. That's what my pastor, when I was a child, used to say. He'd lean over the pulpit, he'd look down over his glasses, and he'd say, "Sometimes we all need a little bit of encouragement." I heard great preaching when I was a child in that little church on the corner. It was a black neighborhood. Most of our congregation was African American, and the preachers there knew how to preach, and they preached with all their soul. And there on that little clapboard church I've talked about with you before, it was on the side of town. I grew up in Princeton, where on one side of town there were mansions with elevators in them. And on this side of town, there were no mansions with elevators, just simple houses, apartments, a little clapboard church. But inside that building, you had a richness that could be found nowhere else in Princeton. Inside were people who knew Jesus and who had relied on him to get them through the tough times. Educated, uneducated, as I said, mostly black, some white, some Asian, some Indian. It was a place where faith was real because it had been honed by life's struggles, and a place where through it all people had found God faithful. And every Sunday we'd sing the same song. It was called "There Is a Balm in Gilead." Maybe some of you know that hymn. And there's a line from there. It says, "Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again." Preacher, when I was a child, would often look over his glasses and say, "You know, things don't always happen the way you want them to. Life happens and you wish it hadn't happened the way it's happened." Sometimes, he said, life gets to be a burden and we get weighed down by cares and concerns that are too heavy for us to manage. And then, he said, we start to fear the future. And there's nothing worse than fearing what's coming when you're already burdened down by what has been. And then, he says, that's why sometimes in this life we all need a little encouragement. Jesus knew that. He said, that's why he said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but choose the option that finishes his words. Be a worrywart, because that will definitely change your circumstances. Stress out and be a jerk to everyone around you. Or be of good cheer. And if you answered C, you're right, because Jesus says that he has overcome the world." Well, what does that mean? He'd ask all of us. And then he said, it means that when you are discouraged and when circumstances seem to be closing in, when what you had hoped for is not happening, or there seems to be barriers in your way, trust in God. Do not fear. Trust in God. He will be faithful to bring you out. And I remembered his words this week, because I was feeling discouraged. I was thinking about our denominational concerns, anticipating the town meeting today, and wishing that things were different, wishing that we could spend our energies and resources on things that were helping people, not dividing people. And yet here we are. And it's an absolutely necessary process that we go through this, but it's not always a pleasant one. And then the Holy Spirit came and revive my soul again in its discouragement. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of a great theologian. His name is Dr. Seuss. He actually had his birthday this month. And he's got a book called "Oh, the Places You'll Go." And it felt to me as if this were a promise for West Valley Presbyterian Church that we needed to hear right now in this place today. I want to read you part of it now, and I've added a little addendum. I think you'll know when that addendum comes in. This is how it goes. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself the direction you choose. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not so good street. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact, and remember that life is a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will succeed. Yes, you will indeed. Sorry. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai, Ali, Van Allen, O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So get on your way. West Valley Press Church, it's up to you, too, to conquer this mountain. God will see you through. There is a bright future with lots of good stuff after this mountain. And if that's not enough, you have brains in your head and feet in your shoes and the Holy Spirit to guide you with all of his clues. You've got prayer and great people. You've got scripture and song. You've got older, wise mentors to help you along. You're a radical, risk-taking, generous bunch, and God is right with you. It's more than a hunch, and you will succeed. Yes, you will succeed, 150% guaranteed. God has guided his people up to this day, and God has no thought about going away. Today. Amen. Amen. And today I'm not talking just about town meetings and perspectives on issues. I'm talking about all the mountains we face, all the tribulations that come our way, all of those things that make life hard to bear sometimes. Those tribulations, those concerns, those trials that made the pastor of my child lean over that pulpit and say, sometimes we all need a little encouragement. There are two phrases that God says more frequently in Scripture than any other. The first we talked about at the women's retreat. I've told you these two before, but just as a reminder, the first thing he says more than anything, I am with you. Because don't we tend to forget that? God says this over and over again because our enemy, Satan, would like us to think that he's not with us. He'd like us to think that that is a lie and that we're all alone in this life. And the truth is God's holding you right now. He's holding this church right now. God is breathing his life into you right now. God is aware of how many hairs are on your head right now. And the enemy would love for us to believe that this isn't so, because fear is his tactic. One of the most common things people say at the end of their life, if they are asked, what would you do if you were going to do your life over again? And they say, I would have trusted more and feared less. When we think we're alone, when we begin to think it's all up to us, that's when we begin to panic. That's when we get afraid, which brings me to the next thing that God says to us in Scripture over and over, again and again. He says these three words more than he says any other three words. Do not fear. Do not fear. Because we tend to get afraid. Seems like the human race is prone to fear. Fear of the future, fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of what is known, fear of death, fear of life. Fear, fear, fear. You know, it always puzzled me why we call the buzzer on our clock or the our cell phone, you know, the melody we might wake up to, we call it an alarm. Why do we call it an alarm? We jump out of bed and start the day with an alarm. Ah. Yikes. Yikes. I better get going or else.
kind of sets the tone for the day. Most of us live in a general state of alarm, or some of us do anyway. Maybe not most of us, some of us. And yet Jesus says, be of good cheer. If I'm afraid, or if I'm in a state of alarm, how can I be of good cheer? How can I have joy? How can I laugh easily and well? How can I take on a challenge or take risk for God if I'm already afraid? How can I be of good cheer if I'm in a state of alarm? The Bible says, when we're afraid, it's time to remember. It's time to remember God's faithfulness to us in the past. What we have experienced of God's leading in the past, and apply it to the future. The part that we still have to go that we haven't experienced yet. And let me ask you something. Has God ever led his people before today? Has he? It's not a trick question. You can... Yeah. Has God ever found a way for you personally out of a situation that seemed to have no exit? You know, there's a book in the Bible. It's the second book of the Bible. It's called Exodus. And I love the fact that it's called Exodus. It's like a big exit sign right at the beginning of the Bible. It's as if God is saying right at the start, I'm the God of the exit sign. I'm a God who is faithful. I'm a God who leads and guides and finds a way for you. I finds a way out for you. And if you trust me, oh, the places you'll go. You see, once upon a time in Exodus, there was a people called the Hebrews who were worn down and discouraged by their manual labor. Being slaves to the Egyptians was burdensome and taxing. God heard the groaning of his people and led them out using Moses as his leader. Moses led them out, but then Pharaoh changed his mind and came after them. The people saw Pharaoh coming after them with his armies and horses, and the people got afraid. They were in a state of alarm. They were pinned against the sea with nowhere to go. They thought God had abandoned them, as we might sometimes feel today, pinned against a sea of unknown threats and nowhere to go. But God was with his people then, just like he's with you right now. He opened the Red Sea and they escaped on foot, walking on dry land, as Karen read this morning. God made a way by opening the sea, made a way where there was no way before. And for a while, the people said, wow, God, you're fantastic. And they were of good cheer. They danced and celebrated. But then they started to look around at the desert. Now they were in the wilderness. And they forgot about how God had led them to this point. They forgot very quickly about God's faithfulness, because the wilderness was scary and they feared that they would have nothing to eat, as we often fear in the wilderness of our own lives, when the enemy again whispers in our ear, you're alone. There's no hope and there's no way out of this one. God has abandoned you. Abandon you because of poor choices you have made. Abandon you because you don't measure up. Abandon you because he really doesn't care. You are on your own. There could be nothing more untrue than this, but it's where we often go when we get afraid. So that's where the people went. Where is God? They cried out. We're alone and we're going to die out here. We're afraid. We should go back to Egypt, go back into bondage, because then at least we'd have something to eat there. We'd rather be slaves than starve. But the God of the exit sign said, no way. You will not die. You are not alone. Fear not. I will provide. And he found them water and sent them bread called manna and sent them quail. That's the story of the book of Exodus. And all through the Old Testament, the God of the exit sign keeps finding a way out for his people. He keeps leading them, finding ways where there seems to be no ways. That's the story of the Old Testament. And all through the Old Testament, the people are first glad right after it happens, and they're always forgetting. They're always forgetting about God's faithfulness. And because people would always forget, God never forgot about his people. People kept forgetting about God. Because people kept forgetting about God, one day, God sent Jesus, who was his exit sign in flesh and blood. And Jesus taught his people all about his deliverance, his way out. And he taught them and told them, I am your exit sign. I provide a way out for you from the bondage of sin. I forgive you. I provide a way out for you from the bondage of loneliness. I befriend you. I provide a way out for you from purposelessness. I promise you a future and a hope. I provide a way out for you from death. I give heaven to all who put their trust in me. I am the God of the exit sign. Trust me, I am faithful to lead you out of whatever situation you find yourself in and move your mountains. I am with you. Do not fear. Jesus told the people, if you trust me, I'll deliver you. I'll be found faithful. Oh, the places you'll go, Jesus said, if you put your trust in me, just trust me. He told them over and over again in so many ways. And they believed him for a while. But then came the darkest day in the history of the human race when Jesus himself was put to death. And when they placed his cold body in a cold tomb that afternoon and sealed it up, there might well have been a sign on that tomb that said, no exit. No exit here, because no one reverses death. That's a mountain no one can move. So fear set in. And the disciples locked themselves away in a room, afraid that God has abandoned them again, afraid for their lives, their future, their survival. It's scary to feel alone. It's scary to believe that God is dead in your life. How much we need him. If God is dead, wrote St. Paul, years later to the churches, then you and I, we are people most to be pitied, because left up to us, there's no exit sign, there's no way out, there's no way through the wilderness, there's no oasis, there's no manna, there's no promised land, there's no place we can go. We are pinned against the sea of our own demise, a short span on this earth, and then that's it. Death is the perfect statistic, one for one every time, friends. Can you sense the disciples' despair, locked in that upper room, fearing for their lives, thinking that following Jesus had been a dead end? And then on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, the resurrected Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. That was the greeting of the early church. They were overjoyed. One place in Scripture said they disbelieved for joy. You mean you were faithful again, God? Yet again? You mean that you turned the tables for your people even on death? You mean that you are God and able to redeem any situation, that you're the God of the exit sign, even the face of crucifixion? Are you really bigger and stronger than anything that evil can do to us? Will you really lead us through to a better place? Will you get us through the wilderness? Can we hope in you, God, to make a way for us when it seems that we're at a dead end? When our back is against the wall and that no exit looms large and neon in the dark night of our soul? And the enemy breathes in our ear, there's no way out, it's over. Are you able to move those mountains, God? Are you able? And the answer from the hosts of heaven and all the cloud of witnesses of the saints who've gone before us and the testimony of the prophets and apostles is a resounding yes. Learn this, they cry out to us today. God is faithful. Learn this, they shout to us from the pages of Scripture. God is utterly and completely trustworthy. Do not fear. What mountains do you need moved in your life today? What wilderness do you find yourself in? What is causing you to fear? Just this past week, I sat with someone from this congregation who had come out of a very difficult situation. In fact, it had been so difficult that the idea of living one more day was hard. It was hard every day to live. Life didn't have any meaning. Life was painful. Person wasn't sure she could go on. She sat in my office now many months later in a different place. If I hadn't come to West Valley Presbyterian Church at the time I did, I wouldn't be here today, she told me. God led me here at the right time when I had tried everything else. It's because of this place and certain people here that I know I can now go on. I know that I'm okay. God provided a way out for me at the last minute because there was nowhere else to go. And now I want to serve him and use what I've been through to help others. I've encountered Jesus in a new way, and for the first time, I can think about my future with hope. God provided a way out for me. He led me here. So folks, Jesus stands by, holding out his hand for you too today. Whatever your situation is, it's a wounded hand, though, because he wants you to remember that he will go to any lengths to rescue you, to bring you out, to make a way. And he suffered so you trust him. He gave his life so you trust him with your life. So take hold of that hand and ask him to guide you now too. Peace be with you, he tells you. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I've got this. I'm with you. I am the God of the exit sign. Exit from fear, from loneliness, purposelessness, and death, and all the mountains that seem to loom large. And when you trust me, West Valley Presbyterian Church, oh, the places you will go. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we are frail and weak. We praise you one moment and we worry the next. We need your gift of faith and the joy of our salvation renewed in our hearts. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Revive our souls again. May we trust you in perfect peace and know that you are the God of the exit sign, that you will lead us and that you are utterly faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's respond by singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Will you stand?
God is a faithful God. You can stake your life on it. And maybe you have a mountain in your life that you'd like prayer for. We have people up here who would love to pray for you and with you after the service. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God that exceeds our wildest dreams and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who revives our soul again and again be with you and lead you into his perfect peace. Amen.